Eventually, Victor said,
"Wow."
Ginger said,
"Mine too."
"Yes, doesn't it hurt? You should know."
"There you are, then," said Gaspode. "And you look at Dibbler next time you see him. Really look, I mean."
Victor rubbed his eyes, which were beginning to water.
"It's as though Holywood has called us here, is doing something to us, and has...
"Branded us," said Ginger bitterly. "That's what it's done."
It does look quite attractive, actually," said Victor gallantly. "Gives them a sort of sparkle."
A shadow fell across the sand.
"Ah, there you are,"
said Dibbler. He put his arms around their shoulders as they stood up and gave them a sort of hug.
"You young people always going off alone together," he said archly. "Great business, great business. Very romantic, but we've got a click to make, and I've got lots of people standing around waiting for you, so let's do it."
"See what I mean?" muttered Gaspode very quietly.
When you knew what you were looking for, you couldn't miss it. In the centre of both of Dibbler's eyes was a tiny golden star. In the heartlands of the great dark continent of Klatch, the air was heavy and pregnant with the promise of the coming monsoon. Bullfrogs croaked in the rushes, but were edited out of the finished production, by the slow brown river. Crocodiles dozed on the mudflats. Nature was holding its breath. A cooing broke out in the pigeon loft of Azhural Nkoit, stock dealer. He stopped dozing on the veranda and went to see what had caused the excitement. In the vast pens behind the shack, a few threadbare bewilderbeasts, marked down for a quick sale, yawning and cudding in the heat, looked up in alarm as Nkoit leapt the veranda steps in one bound and tore towards them. He rounded the zebra pens and homed in on his assistant Mbu, who was peacefully mucking out the ostriches.
"How many?"
he stopped and began to wheeze. Mbu, who was 12 years old, dropped his shovel and patted him heavily on the back.
"How many?" he tried again.
"You've been overdoing it again, boss," said Mbu in a concerned voice.
"How many elephants we got?"
"I just done them," said Mbu. "We got 3.
"Are you sure?"
"Yes, boss," said Mbu evenly. "It's easy to be sure with elephants."
Azhural crouched in the red dust and hurriedly began to scrawl figures with a stick.
"Old Mulukai is bound to have 6, he muttered, "and Tazikal's usually got 20 or so, and then the people on the delta generally have..."
"Someone want elephants, boss?"
"Got 15 head, he was telling me, plus also there's a load at the logging camp probably going cheap. Call it 2.
"Someone want a lot of elephants, boss?"
"Was saying there's a herd over Tetse way. Shouldn't be a problem, but then there's all the valleys over towards..."
Mbu leaned on the fence and waited.
"Maybe 200, give or take 10,
said Azhural, throwing down the stick.
Nowhere near enough."
"You can't give or take 10 elephants, boss," said Mbu firmly.
He knew that counting elephants was a precision job. A man might be uncertain about how many wives he had, but never about elephants. Either you had one or you didn't.
"Our agent in Klatch has an order for..."
Azhural swallowed.
"1,000 elephants. 1,000. Immediately. Cash on delivery."
Azhural let the paper drop to the ground.
"To a place called Ankh-Morpork," he said despondently.
He sighed.
"It would have been nice," he said.
Mbu scratched his head and stared at the hammerhead clouds massing over Mount Fatwangi. Soon the dry veldt would boom to the thunder of the rains. Then he reached down and picked up the stick.
"What are you doing?" said Azhural.
"Drawing a map, boss," said Mbu.
Azhural shook his head.
"Not worth it, boy. 3,000 miles to Ankh, I reckon. I let myself get carried away. Too many miles. Not enough elephants."
"We could go across the plains, boss," said Mbu. "Lot of elephants on the plains. Send messengers ahead. We could pick up plenty more elephants on the way, no problem. That whole